You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, golfers. Your tee time awaits. It's the Tee to Green Golf Show here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Got a thought on the PGA Tour? Want help with your swing? Give the show a call at 803-0550.
Tee to Green is being presented by the Western New York PGA. Woods to wedges inside the Whirly Golf Dome. Custom Turf, Michelob Ultra, and Jim Beam. And by our home clubs, Pendleton Creek Golf Club and Lancaster Country Club.
It's time to talk golf. Here are your hosts, Brian Cozio, Kevin Sylvester, and PGA Pro Jeff Mitis.
7 o'clock, good morning here on WGR Sports Radio 550 on a beautiful Saturday, the final day in April. We welcome you, Tee to Green, live and on the air. We are at Lockport Town and Country Club in Lockport, New York, and we're excited to be here. Brian Cozio, Kevin Sylvester, PGA Pro Jeff Mitis, your best spot for local golf talk every week, Saturday from 7 to 8 right here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Well, we're back at one of the places, Kevin, good morning, that it feels like we have kind of when we started doing the show.
Yes.
This is one of our original spots that we love to come, and as always, a beautiful sight when we pull up here and walk up to the clubhouse.
I love this place. I'm glad if we got on the schedule a week when I'm in town here, because I love visiting Lockport Town and Country Club. And we're sitting in what might be the best grill room in Buffalo. Now, I say it because we've got we're surrounding windows, you know, three sides of that. You can see the first tee, guys teeing off. You could probably make faces at them when they're on the tee box. The 18th green over there on the other side. The sun is out this morning, and this property is just absolutely stunning. And, yes, Ronald O'Malley and his staff, they've been a supporter of the show since the beginning.
So, yeah, since we've started.
To be here.
So we appreciate that. We love coming here. Jeff Mitis, good morning.
Yeah, I'm excited because we get to whip around after the show today and play with Terry, the pro, and get to play this place. It's always fun place to play. Like you say, it's a place that feels like home when you walk in the door.
Yeah, when we came up here, I know you and I, we walked up at a little after six, and you said, "Oh, it looks good."
Yeah, the sun was coming up. Yeah,
it was more than a little after six, fellas. Yeah. Don't act like you were really early.
Listen, we are here ahead of you, so we can make up the time or whatever we need it to be.
You guys are all hang on. You're always ahead of me, but you're ahead of me by like a minute.
Oh,
so,
that's what you think.
Which means I was early.
Anyway, coming up here on the show, we're going to have a trio of guests coming on here. You mentioned the general manager, Roland O'Malley. We'll have him coming up. The PGA Pro, Terry Stiltner, and the superintendent, Jason Canutola, will also come on here over the course of our first segment. So let's not waste any time. Let's bring in Terry Stiltner here, the PGA Pro. Terry, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for having us back, Terry. Course looks great.
Yes, it looks awesome this year. With the weather, it's been a little bit suspect this year, but the golf course is in fantastic shape. Ready to go.
How many years have you been here, Terry?
This is my fourth year.
Fourth year.
Yes.
And I noticed you got stuff set up on the tee. You ready for some players this morning?
Yes. Got the morning game this morning. One best ball of two for the members.
All right. Oh, I like that. So make sure Jeff and Brian get in there.
I was going to say, don't let Kevin in. His handicap might be, you know.
What are you talking about?
No comment.
All right.
Well, he hasn't played this year, so.
I've played once this year.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is surprising. Normally, you've got a lot of rounds in by now.
You know what? I've fished more than I've golfed. The pursuit of the trout and fly fishing, which I'm kind of sad that's kind of done now.
We'll have to start a radio show for fishing.
Well, I might. All right. In my spare time, Jeff.
Yes.
Kevin, talking about the beautiful view from where we're sitting, I just tweeted out and put on Twitter and Instagram some of the photos of looking down the first hole and the patio and the 18th and also in their beautiful clubhouse here. So Check it out at T2G Buffalo, at T2G Buffalo on Twitter and on Instagram. You can check it out there. Make sure you also follow them on Twitter and on Instagram as well, at LockportCC. That's also where you can follow them as well. So we'll talk a little bit about maybe if you want to be involved here with Rollin in just a little bit, but we're here with Terry Stilton of the PGA Pro. Terry, the course itself over 4 years, just kind of if you want to take us back to when you got here to what it is now, like, you know, obviously every course undergoes changes and plans every year, but just kind of your timeline of where it's at from when you came in.
Just little changes here at the club here. Where Jason and his staff has done a fantastic job. You know, we know just the little things, no major projects. We had a bunker project last couple of years that improved our bunkers here, things like that. Greens are rolling nicely. The fairways are pristine. Just little things that makes the golf course that people don't really see until little projects are, you know, taken care of.
Is it wet right now?
No, it's actually dry. Mm-hmm. Drier than we drain very well here. It's some courses, they do not have carts out. We've been lucky. We have carts going. If the weather's nice enough, carts have been going. Fantastic shape.
Yeah, it's one of the advantages of being on the escarpment, you know, that drainage in the soil. And we'll talk to Jason about that in a second. Out, you know, for someone out there listening who's considering joining the club on the golf side, what is the golfing aspect of it like as far as play, members? Should they be intimidated by skill level? Like, what's the golfing portion of it like?
It's a relaxed atmosphere. There's a lot of golfers here, your core members, but they're very accommodating here, I've noticed, the members. The golf course isn't a very large golf course. What I mean by that, it's not wide open. It's fair, you know, it's 6,300 yards from the back tees, fairly tight, but you have to keep the ball in play. I mean, if you punt and chip here, you're going to score well, but it's a sneaky, hard golf course here. But it's very playable for the average golfer here. Keep it in front of you, keep it all trouble in the, you know, a couple wet areas here, you know, ponds, but not too much water on this golf course. But it's a great test of golf here.
I like you said sneaky because you're right. You know, people are all 6,300 yards from the tips. How hard could that be?
What's the course record? Where's the first tee?
Exactly. Yeah. Come and play, and then you go through. I'm like, I need to play that again because now I, you know how to, you know, I'll play it differently.
Exactly.
Now, this nine's an older nine. It's got an old look. What year was this built?
The front nine you're talking about.
Front nine, right? Yes. Yeah. The holes we're looking at, what, this is an older course, right? It's been around for...
It was the early
1900s, I think, yeah. Right? Yeah,
Jason Knudel, the superintendent. Go ahead, Jason. Jump in here.
So 1902, I believe. Yeah, wow. A different property came over here in 12.
1912?
Yep. But then it was renovated by Stanley Thompson in the 1950s, early 1950s. And Stanley Thompson, world-renowned Canadian architect.
Yeah.
Yep.
Where he chose the green locations is, I think, what changed this property forever. Obviously, we don't know what it looked like way back, but he picked locations that are a lot more fair and friendly to golfers. So he played or designed holes along hillsides instead of going up and down them.
But the
great job.
The green complexes all seem to be cut into the side of the hills.
Absolutely.
And they're all picturesque because of the landscape here.
Exactly. And we call them more punch bowl greens, so everything kind of funnels towards the green for the most part. So if you just mishit a shot, instead of kicking away like a Donald Ross true turtleback design, everything kind of kicks back and funnels in. Still a true test of golf, though. And then in 93. I believe
you didn't know there'd be a history exam.
Yeah,
you?
I know. This question got everybody going the wrong way.
Rollin O'Malley, the GM.
The one thing
we're passing the mic back and forth, everybody.
There's three,
so you know.
Three of you have all played here, and on this side of the railroad tracks, before you go over to number six, imagine there were nine greens and 18 tees.
Wow.
They created nine more tees, so there were 18 tees hitting into nine greens to make this an 18-hole golf course with the different yardage. Up until 1991, when we opened up that other nine on the other side of the road, which Jason can get into on that. But that I have some drawings of that. And what he said, some of these greens are on the sides of hills that right now, if you cut where it's at or Jason was to go out, you could see where the green used to be.
Huh, okay.
You know?
So I'll keep an eye out there. I got a bad joke I got to get in from a couple a minute ago. If it was 18-12, they wouldn't have let Stanley Thompson come from Canada here. All right.
Got it. War, right? The war.
Okay, thank you. All right.
Yeah.
Very good.
Talk about the history.
Terry liked it.
Talk
all right.
about the history.
We got
lesson.
A few. The guy with the drum set over here isn't awake yet, but it was pretty decent.
You were waiting
coming.
To tell that joke?
Yes, I was. Yeah. Wait, hold on. We have our new board, Kev. I think we have a drum set.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let's see if we can do it here. Do you know which one's the drum?
Go for it. Yes. Yeah.
There it
good
is.
Job.
I think that worked.
Okay.
We've been waiting. Listen, we got a new.
We got some new equipment.
We got some new equipment. We've been waiting to use that sound effect forever. So
that was perfect.
Kevin's joke was pretty decent. I'm like, all right, we got to use it here. We don't have too many good ones. We got to use it. We got it.
Yeah, you're correct. We don't.
That was, by the way, 1 out of 8 chance on there. I got nailed it pretty good.
Pretty
I was
good,
happy.
Brian.
I know. Anyway, so the golf course itself, obviously different phases and everything. And Jason, for you that knows every inch of this golf course, I know so well. What I always say about coming here is that there's so many different types of holes, and I hit so many different types of shots. There's certain courses where it seems like you get in that regimen of, okay, same tee shot, same approach shot, same green area to putt on, but there's so many just unique aspects about this. One of the few places I feel like every single club in the bag can be in play.
Absolutely. That's by far the biggest thing about the golf course. No two holes are even remotely close to being the same. It is not your typical out and then back and then out and back. And you will use every club in the bag.
Yeah, you remember every hole at the end of the round. You know, it's not like, oh, four, that one. No, you can remember them after your first time, each
exactly.
hole, because they are distinctive.
All right, what is your favorite hole? I mean, you're the one who, you know, every nook and cranny of every hole, what is your favorite hole?
What's your favorite child?
Personally, I love number 3. It's on top of the escarpment on the one side, so if you hook your tee shot left, you are down into 17 fairway, and you have a very difficult recovery shot. The green sight is challenging. It's a 2-tier green, falls off to the left. And if you play the shots right, it's a birdie hole. If you play them wrong, it can be a double bogey hole. So,
yeah, it's a really, really cool setup. There's just some great views from the tee box, including we know here number 1. And even from the 18th hole, which is a beautiful finishing par 3. Those are the pictures I've got up on Twitter and Instagram this morning,
Ryan,
at TDG Buffalo.
If I may, he's talking about number 3. I think that's the finishing of the best opening corner in Western New York on a golf course, 1, 2, and 3. It's kind of a horseshoe corner, if you will, but takes you out. You go up the escarpment. You play across in the par 3, and then you come back down there on number 3. It's really it's not a gentle handshake. You know, some courses like to have a gentle handshake to start the round. I mean, it is a par 5, but I think it's a really cool, memorable opening 3 holes. And that's not to say 4, 5, and 6 are not, but I'm just saying the first 3, if you're looking to, you know, a gentle warm-up in your round, no, be ready to play.
I'm in there. I think number 1's not that hard. You got a lot of room up there on the right. It's the best sledding hill in Western New York, probably, too. And if you hit a little right, it tends to bounce back. If you get hung up there, though, good luck trying to sling a 4-iron from the ball 6 inches above your feet. Yeah.
For those, though, that maybe haven't played the course, but you've driven by it, number 1's the hole everybody can see from the road. And, you know, it's a really, really cool look. It drops down. And from the tee box here, you can obviously get a look all the way up to the green, which is a par 5 to start here.
You can't get there in 2, most, you know, and you've got to really position that second shot. Terry's over there going, yeah, Kevin's right. You got to position that correctly.
No, I think he's nodding. I'm going to show you today. I can reach him too.
Okay.
Terry's like, it's a driver's 6-iron, buddy.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. Terry, let's bring you back in here for our Western New York PGA Tip of the Week, brought to you by the Western New York PGA. It has one goal, promoting and growing the game of golf today, tomorrow, and beyond. So, as we will encounter playing today, lots of different lies on this course. Sometimes maybe sideways, too. Side hill lies, things like that. That's a shot maybe that in Western New York we don't get a ton of shots like that. So I want to get your thoughts and Jeff's thoughts here on if I've got the ball above my feet or the ball below my feet on maybe kind of a side hill lie. Like, what are some of the things that I should be thinking about here to hit a better shot?
Well, if the ball is above your feet a little bit, obviously aim a little bit farther to the right, being a right-handed golfer. You know, because the ball's going to curve back in towards the green area. So you want to play a little bit, you know, farther out to the right for the, like I said, right-handed golfers. Then obviously if it's below your feet, you're going to do the opposite. Obviously aim a little bit farther to the left, and it should come back into play.
And I like to take a lot of practice swings. Not, you know, maybe I want to get adjusted, because knowing where that ball is in relationship to your stance when it's above or below your feet, you'll see a lot of tour players, a lot of good players taking a lot of practice swings, trying to get a feel for that. And then the lower body, I think, needs to be really stable on those shots. You really got to make sure you're swinging in balance or within control. You know, these bombers, everybody hits it pretty hard nowadays. But on those shots, you want to make sure that you're swinging within yourself and trying to make really solid contact first, especially when the ball is below your feet. A lot of that, it'll kick because of the lie angle of the club, too, so it kicks left or right. So you got to be aware of that. But when that ball is below your feet, you got to bend over a little bit more, really get into your thighs and really feel a real solid base and take a bunch of practice swings trying to gauge where that ground is in relationship to your normal swing.
I mean, utilize the slope as your friend. I mean, there's some things, if the ball's below your feet, maybe choke down on the club a little bit. So you might not have to take such a big golf swing, because why? Depending on the lie, you know, the ball might be hooking or fading, you know, back towards the green area.
And a lot of times you will pull it when the ball's below your feet, surprisingly. Yeah, because you're counting on Absolutely. That fade. So just, you know, controlling that blade through there, making sure that blade doesn't twist or catch the ground first.
Is the tougher shot when the ball's below?
I believe it is. Yeah, for me it is. I don't know about you, Terry. Yes, I always thought absolutely. That was a much harder shot than the ball above my feet.
Amateurs topping the ball, it seems like that would be a natural thing to possibly happen, right?
Squat enough, right?
You gotta exactly. Kind
of... Well, most people come out of their posture too early anyway, you know, in their golf swing, and that's what causes the pop-ups and the slices and stuff. So if you're coming out of your posture early with the ball below your feet, you can imagine it's a difficult shot.
One thing I would recommend, if you go out and practice, obviously gyro ranges, you don't have too many different lie changes, but if you go out and practice maybe nine holes by yourself in the evening times, try different shots out there. Just don't worry about hitting it from the middle of the fairway. Create yourself bad lies above your feet, below your feet, and try to create different shots, because your main thing is you're somewhat in trouble. Get it back in play to benefit you. Don't try to hit that career shot. You're going to hit it 1 out of 10 times.
Plus, you want to be able to anticipate what the ball will do, and if you haven't practiced it or hit a lot of those shots, it's tough to gauge or anticipate what will happen.
Yeah, I think that's good advice, because I feel like I will do this where I'm over exaggerate. Like I'm saying, all right, well, you know, the side hill lie, ball's above my feet. All right, this ball's really going to go left, and then I end up aiming sometimes too far right, or then the vice versa the other way. And
the ball goes straight. Yeah. Because sometimes you're fighting against that hook move. You're fighting against that blade going left, and then guess what? I hit it way right. Yeah. So it does take a little bit of practice, and that's why I'd like to, you know, every shot's different in golf, and that's what makes it fun. You very seldom, I mean, in Western New York, we get a lot more flat lies than a lot of places. But here, you will not. You know, this way, this golf course, you get a lot of different lies.
And one thing I do say to the members here and the guests, you know, maybe take a little bit, you know, less club, a more lofted club. Get that ball back in play. Don't compound the mistake. Get the club on the golf ball. Get it down the fairway. Then try to hit that next shot onto the green.
Good advice there on the side hill lies, downhill lies, uphill lies. And it's, again, brought to you by the Western PGA. If you want to get started in golf, you want to get your son or daughter going, or any age, go to WNYPGA.com. You can still sign up for Drive, Chip, and Putt. They still got PGA Junior Leagues going on, so you can contact your local pro and check that out.
All right, manage the course here. Speaking of managing the course, Ryan O'Malley's managed the club for many, many years, and I want to talk to Raul about the club right now. And, I mean, you've been here through many phases of the club, the renovations over on the patio, the back deck, which are just fantastic. And this club is in position right now. It's thriving, isn't it, Raul?
Probably the highest membership level that we've had, and I've been here 26 years, so I know it's the highest membership level we've had in that of golf members, which is terrific. It's just fine, and I know a lot of I think golf has hit back into Western New York, which has helped all the clubs in this area. But for us in a small community, it's helped us to be able to make this place even better. The more members, I mean, the programs that the different projects that we're going to get in place, that we're putting in place to go over the next few years, are going to advance this club even more. I mean, it's just really, it's tremendous. And the support from our members, in the length of time that I've been here, the support, there's different things that we wanted to get accomplished, and we've held meetings, and it's just, you see them all go, yeah, go ahead and do it, you know, and they pay for it. And it's just, when you have that type of support in a club where there isn't a lot, it's just a great place. Our average age of membership has started to go down. I mean, it's in the 50s now, and that is a plus to any golf club. We've got a lot of children. We've got Terry's going to be starting a junior program. Recently just hired a another pro from, was it the county course here, who you all know? Tom Yeager's going to work with Jason and with us up here to give us a hand, but basically to work with these families that have joined here with young children. There's a lot of them, and they all say, is there something my kids can start learning this game? And that's what we want to see in the golf industry. We want these young kids hitting balls and getting out and enjoying a golf course, and it's good, and we support it totally.
I know there's an opportunity to join. We'll talk about that in a second, but I want to, you know, 26 years, Raul, that's a testament to your leadership here and the membership, because you've stayed. you like working with the members, but also staff. I mean, Jason's been here quite some time, and I remember when Jason first came here, God, it seems eons ago, talk about the staff and how the consistency of the staff that you've had here and how it's translated into the enjoyment of the membership.
You know, you've hit on a key thing. It's wonderful. I mean, Jason's the longest term employee. He's been here since 2005, and his whole family's involved with our club. His wife's been involved with things. His son works for him now. These are all positive things. I have staff that have been here 10, 12 years, which in a lot of our industries is a rarity. They love to come to work, and that's what makes me feel good, that we're doing the right thing, and the members are nice to them, and we all become a family. When you know private clubs, you're basically a family. Through COVID, this was a safe place to be. Tables were all 7 feet apart, sanitizing stations all over. But people would come through. We feel safe here, Raul. Your country clubs were a safe haven for people to come. Mary Beth, who you know, mm-hmm. Mary Beth came to work for me when she was 15. I'm the goddaughter of her child. She's still here. Mary Beth is 35, probably now.
Yeah, you want to
those longevities?
Yeah.
You just really, it's just that's what keeps your club and keeps them going. I mean, they see a car pull in. Tara's been with us about 5-6 years. She knows what the person's going to drink. You know, and that's what I like.
Those are the little things.
Those are the little things that
matter a lot.
Yes.
Yep. You may have, for the listeners, may have heard on WGR, there's been an opportunity, Lockport Country Club offering a really cool opportunity here. I know ending today, right, Raul?
It ends today.
You want to give everybody a last chance to get in on what is a really nice offer.
This is a promotion that we've had going for 45 days, and it's been tremendous. And what it is that you prepay your dues portion of the fees for the 2023 golf season, and you receive the rest of 2022, your dues are basically waived. There's nothing around like that. This is a tremendous cost course to get in at in a very reasonable way. If you've never been at a country club, now's the time to jump onto one with a terrific golf course, terrific staff, terrific clubhouse, swimming pool, and it has a lot of value to it the way we've set it up to have it happen.
Yeah, what a day to come check it out, too. I mean, a brilliant sun, a great weather day here today, and if folks saying, okay, honey, we've heard the spots. We got to go check it out today. Should they call for an appointment? Can they show up? Like, how should they go about it today?
They can show up. I'll be here all day. They can go on and they can call at 433-5969. My extension's 103. The email address for me today would be rowland@lockportcc.com. Just reach out, we'll get you in here.
Really nice
awesome.
Deal there. 2023 dues get you in for 2022.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? They'll love it here. They really will. The commercial says one round you'll be a fan for life, right? The tagline. They will love it. They'll play the golf course and they'll be like, wow, this place is amazing.
I agree.
It really is.
Well, Raul, thanks so much for having us here. As always, we look forward to our annual visit. And Jason, the course looks phenomenal.
Yeah, looking forward to playing it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You mentioned that like 4 times.
I'm excited to play golf. I'm a golf bro. That's right. It's a beautiful day. It's
Thank
spring.
You.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I played it last summer in the Kevin Guesthouse tournament. That was a great event. I had to put on here, and it was my cousin was in town, and he just kind of rode along, and he doesn't golf, but he's like, wow, this place is great. So just the beauty of it, you know, the aesthetics of it.
716-433-5969. You can email Raul at Rowland, R-O-W-L-A-N-D, at LockportCC.com. You can also, if you want to go to their website, all that information's there, LockportCountryClub.com. Thanks to GM Rowland O'Malley, the PGA Pro, Terry Stiltner, the superintendent, Jason Canutola, for joining us here. Gentlemen, great job. Thank you, as always. Timeout on Tee to Green. When we come back, we'll check the leaderboards. What's going on at the PGA Tour? What's going on in the Champions Tour? What's going on in the LPGA Tour? A couple of notes on the PGA Championship. Tiger practice this week, so got some golf news to get to here as we roll on from a beautiful spot overlooking the first tee here at Lockport Town and Country Club. Kevin Sylvester, PGA Pro Jeff Mitis. I'm Brian Colziel. More Tee to Green from Lockport Town and Country Club right after this on WGR.
You're listening to Tee to Green, presented by the Western New York PGA. Woods to wedges inside the Whirly Golf Dome, Custom Turf, Michelob Ultra, and Jim Beam. And by our home clubs, Pendleton Creek Golf Club and Lancaster Country Club. Stay tuned. More Tee to Green coming up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Time for a check of the PGA Tour leaderboard. Brought to you by Callaway Chrome Soft. This ball is different. And also by Puma Golf Shoes.
We're back on Tee to Green. 7:30 the time on WGR Sports Radio 550. Brian Colziel, Kevin Sylvester, PGA Pro Jeff Mitis. Time for our whip around professional golf. We're going to start with, as you heard there, the PGA Tour leaderboard. The Mexico Open going on right now. Very exciting. It's not used to be a world golf event, Kev. It's not anymore.
There's only two world golf championships remaining, the match play and the HSBC that
in Memphis,
will return.
Right?
No.
The Memphis event,
the FedEx St. Jude, is going to be the first event of the playoffs
this year.
There's not going to be a playoff event in New York or Boston.
Weird
right now, which is weird, right? But anyway,
I know that's where they always like to have it.
Hey, it is what it is. Like, there's you want a PGA Tour event, you better bring it big. I mean, that's just how it is. Anyways, so it used to be Mexico City, now it's in Puerto Vallarta.
Vedanta.
Yes,
the Mexico Open at Vedanta.
It would have been nice to get that assignment this year, but I did not.
I agree. A Greg Norman design course. Norman's in the news this week. We'll get to that coming up here in a minute for a few reasons. John Rahm, though, no surprise, he's the only player in the top 10 playing, and he shot 64-66 and leading by two at 12 under par. Alex Smalley, two behind at minus 10. Adam Long, Andrew Novak, Cameron Champ amongst the group at 9 under par. That also included Patrick Reed, so a Masters winner there, too.
I'm mad at myself. I was going to pick Rahm this week in the pool, but I'm going to save him.
I know.
And I went with Gary Woodland. I think Woody made the cut, but
I wanted to pick him too, but I picked him for the Masters.
Well,
so
yeah,
I'm done.
That's the other thing. Yeah, it's one and done, right?
Yeah,
it's one
and done. The best player in that field by a
and
mile.
And I like the way Woodland had been playing as of late, but he made the cut, right? Three under?
Yeah. Popular pick in our pool this week in our Tee to Green Fantasy League. By the way, we give away monthly prizes. Yes, you're a little behind for April, but you can still get in for May, and then you know we start clean each month to get a prize. Yeah. So this will be our last week. I took Matt Jones, tried to like sneak a little sneaky pick in there. He's 58th, not doing great. But Abraham,
made the cut, though. Made
yes,
the cut, so
Abraham, I'm going to get some points. Abraham Ancer was a very popular pick in our Tee to Green Fantasy League this week. One of a record 10 Mexican players in the field, and they all said they wanted to be paired with Ancer this week. Ancer obviously is drawing a ton of media attention, Kevin, this week, and what a cool rise for him. He said just like this week he's going to just be beaming with pride. Good for him that he'll get to play the weekend too.
Carlos Ortiz, another player who's won on the PGA Tour.
Three under playing well.
Okay, yeah. So he nearly won at Mayakoba last fall, but Hovland repeated.
That's right. All right, so let's take a look what's going on in the LPGA, Kev.
They are playing the Palos Verdes Championship presented by Bank of America. That is in California, Palos Verdes Estates, California. And third round today, Hannah Green, 9 under par. She'll tee off at 150 with Lydia Ko, who is 3 back. So Hannah Green's got a 3-shot lead over 4 players, Lydia Ko, Megan Kang, Jim Young Ko, and Minji Lee. Now, you may remember Minji caddied for her brother in the par 3 of the Masters. Minwoo Lee played in the Masters this year. The better Lee is Minji.
Yeah, she is definitely
yes,
better.
Yeah.
And the Champions Tour leaderboard is brought to you by Donald Ross, the world's finest golf clothing. This week they're at the Insperity? How do I say it?
Insperity
Invitational in Woodlands at the Woodlands Country Club in Woodlands, Texas. Tied for first, Steven Stricker and Stephen Alker and my hero Ernie Els all shot 5 under, followed by Woody Austin and Tim Petrovic.
I know everybody says, right, you know, the smoothest swing in golf, we always think of Freddie Couples, but Ernie Els shouldn't be far behind, I think, Kev, right?
I think Ernie has the smoothest swing in golf, Freddie Couples has the coolest swing in golf, and Louis Oosthuizen has the best swing in golf.
I like the first two. I don't know if Louis Oosthuizen has the best swing in golf. He's got a great swing. But there's so many good ones, though. It's like, yeah. But he swings beautifully.
Yes.
But I grew up watching Ernie Els and talk about watching him up close in person. He's just a monster of a guy and super good guy and a great, great, fluid, old-school golf swing.
Yep.
And by the way, Steve Stricker, this is his first time competing back. You know, he almost
6 months or something.
Yeah, it wasn't COVID, but there was some other
mystery illness. He lost 25 pounds.
Yeah, like he was not in great shape. Like there was a lot of concern with Steve Stricker at the time, and good to see him back.
I agree. All right, there's your look at the professional leaderboards. Let's talk a little bit of Greg Norman here, as we're live from Lockport Town and Country Club. Did you watch the 30 for 30, the shark, either of you? I did.
I did not. No, I don't like Greg Norman, so I won't watch it.
Yes, it was, I thought, very interesting. They had him walk the 18 holes and reflect.
At Augusta?
At Augusta. And they had him reflect. He had said he has never watched coverage of the final round, the collapse in 96 against Faldo, when he was up 5 shots. But really interesting, the show, you know, obviously a little timeline of how he came to be number one in the world and all these sort of things. But the show reflects on some of the most painful moments for Norman, the Larry Mize chip in at the Masters where he ended up losing, the Bob Tway chip in at the PGA where he loses it. So, I mean, it leads up to this buildup, but then the show's an hour and a half, but the last hour is all about the Masters in 96, the, you know, maybe the most memorable joke in golf, I guess.
So he was a 5-stroke lead heading into the back nine.
Yes, and what was really cool is they were showing a whole bunch of media clips from 96. It was like, you know, yeah, they showed SportsCenter's coverage of it. They showed golf, all these different outlets of saying like, oh, you know, when Norman wins this, it's going to be this and all this sort of stuff. And he said there was a British reporter that was in the parking lot as he was going to his car at the end of round 3 that came by, and he said he gave him a little elbow nudge and goes, even you can't blow this.
Oh.
And he said that was the moment, he goes, where I started to think about it.
Oh.
And he said, I don't know why he did it. He goes, me and this reporter, he goes, we've had interactions before. He goes, I wish he had not done it. He goes, I started to think about, you know, holding it. And he goes, I didn't. And I thought Norman was very open in this.
That's, like, yeah, it's a pretty honest answer.
He
right
came,
there,
said, he goes, I came to think about now about the ending. He goes, instead of kind of staying in the moment sort of thing, like, you know, we've heard before. Here's what was also, I thought, really fascinating. He said a key moment for him was the pairing, being with Faldo. So not only, of course, was he a rival, but he said Faldo was the exact opposite type of player that he needed to be with. He said, I did not need to have a round that had extra tension. And he said, Faldo says nothing. He goes, I'm a type of guy that if my partner hits a good shot, I want to say, hey, good shot, and vice versa. And, you know, chat maybe as we're walking down. And he goes, the play that Faldo did, if he said they showed the third round, he got up and down on 18 in a really, really, really tough spot to keep him in the final pairing. Had it not done that in the third round, it would have been 25-year-old Phil Mickelson in the final group with Norman. Norman said, he goes, if I have Mickelson in my group, because I truly believe that I win this tournament. He said that was one of the factors. But
Faldo played great.
You know what?
Faldo played great.
Hold on a second.
He did.
Yeah.
He said it was one of the factors.
You know what? I'm sorry. Yep. Just don't blame it on your pairing. Like that.
Well,
he said
it was one of the factors.
You know what?
He just choked. He just, like you said, he started thinking about it before it was done.
Here's the other.
You can't.
Yeah, that is true, number one. Number two here, you know, nowadays, if you're within five in any tournament, we say there's a chance, you got a chance to win. Any player wants to be within five shots heading to the final round.
We see these swings a lot more now, for sure.
Think about it. Five shots is not that big of a deal, because on one hole, you could have the reversal, a bogey birdie, and now it's three shots. And all of a sudden, things tighten up big time.
And Augusta's custom made for big swings.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So nowadays, we wouldn't call it a collapse.
Faldo said, he goes, my goal was to cut it to three by the start of the back nine. And it was much more down than that. It was down to one.
Yes.
And then it got to the 12th hole, which where we've seen collapses before. We know Spieth did it recently.
Couples.
And it all of a sudden swings. And now Faldo's got the lead. And it's pretty much over from there. But I thought it was good. If you get a chance to watch it, whether you're a Greg Norman fan or not, I think it's interesting because he goes through the hole by hole and talks about what he's thinking about while they're showing the replay of the broadcast with him in that final round.
It's fascinating. It says he was intimidated by Nick Faldo. Now, Faldo's an intimidating figure. If you haven't seen Nick Faldo in person, he's like 6'1". He is, he's well over 220 pounds.
With a super skinny waist. He's all shoulders, yeah.
Well, it's got a little.
Maybe not anymore.
He's a big guy, an intimidating force out there. And you can see how it was there on the golf course.
He used to drag that back foot like Scottie Scheffler does too. Like when he would hit drives, his back foot always trailed like that.
There were other golfers interviewed, and they had said that pairing with Faldo, they said, you know, at the time, Faldo was a bulldog, like just. You know, you were with him, like you weren't getting anything from being with him.
And Faldo hit 18 green. I mean, Faldo was down the middle, center of the green. Yeah, he's not making bogeys or doubles anywhere. Ever.
It's like no one gives Danny Willett credit
for winning.
Jordan Spieth. Danny Willett, he birdied the last, wasn't it?
At least the last two or the three, I think.
I think he birdied the last three holes or something. I mean, Danny Willett played unbelievable on the back nine to win the Masters, you know, despite Spieth's, you know, troubles on 12.
Yeah.
So, you know, we look at Stewart Cink. You're like, oh, Tom Watson, terrible. Stewart Cink played great to win. By the way, on Norman, did you see he applied for a special exemption?
Well, that was why I was going to bring it up. Yep. He's well past the age when past champions are permitted to play. The RNA that runs the Open said there will be no additional special exemptions for Greg Norman this year. But he wants to play in it this year. He says, I'm a two-time champion. It's at the home of golf at St. Andrews. It's the 150th anniversary of the Open. He goes, I want to be there. So he's 67 years old, and he's going to try to qualify. He's going to try to go through the ranks and get there. It would be a remarkable story if he actually went through the qualifying and got there.
That'd be a great story. It'd be an unbelievable story because that's very, very difficult to do. And at 67 and not playing much competitive golf for a long time,
I'm willing to bet if he wasn't spearheading this other thing that he might get the exemption.
I would almost agree. Yeah. Right now, I don't think he has any chance.
Yeah. And speaking of the other thing, like Phil's back in the news, right? He's entered to play the PGA Championship as a defending champion, Mickelson. So we can expect his return there. But his representative, his agent, said they also applied for special exemption to play in the the first event for the LIV Golf.
Which is in London.
It's in London, which, by the way, I believe they released ticket prices. I saw a story on this. The ticket prices are like astronomical.
Like 180 bucks.
Well, it's pounds.
Pounds.
So that's like a day.
A day.
It's over 200. It's over. It's like $250 US dollars to go for one day.
Ouch.
That's not what you want
to
do.
To watch some.
To promote fans.
To watch Robert Garrigues.
Yeah. It's like watching me.
Now, I just interviewed Robert in New Orleans. He was a Tommy Gainey after the first round. Robert's a nice guy, but you know that's not what you're paying $250 for.
Hey, we had some good news. Anthony Dellasani, a local kid, he ended up shooting 6-under on the back nine to win his conference, the Missouri Valley Conference, which qualifies him for the NCAA championships. And he's an outstanding golfer. He up at Willowbrook there in Lockport. He's
just down the road.
Yeah, right? and from all accounts, just a great kid. And I've been watching him play for a while. So that's a tremendous honor. You know, his team doesn't necessarily qualify, but as an individual, he did. So congratulations to him.
Yes, yeah. Excellent player. And speaking of congratulations, we should congratulate our friend Chip Clover for being named executive director of the Western New York PGA.
Yes, congratulations. I served on the board for many, many years for Chip. It's super exciting to have him around. Anybody that knows Chip knows he's a super fun guy, and he brings a lot of knowledge and experience to the job.
Yeah, we've had Chip on before on the show, so we look forward to working with him and the great staff of the Western New York PGA coming up here for years to come.
As a matter of fact, I have a photo of us with Chip at the first show we ever did in the studio, like 2003 or 4, whenever it was. In GR back then, before you were doing it with us, Kev.
Well,
In between.
When you were in Charlotte. That's
right. Yeah. So it was a long time ago. The one year we did it without him. That was a long, long time.
Chip, so the very first golf show in Buffalo, we started on WBEN back in 1997. Mm. With Gary Battistoni as the co-host, and we were in studio. And I would go out to the courses and record. You know, and Chip was like one of the first ones at Brookfield. He invited me to come on out and play. I was going to interview. He was like, nah, come and play the course. We'll talk about the course. And I still somewhere, I bought a hat from him, and he gave me a discount back then. Thank you, Chip. But I still have that hat somewhere. You know, and I've been in the basement.
Is it Arias?
It might be. It looks like a 49ers hat but with a Brookfield logo on it. And so I'm happy for Chip. That's a good move.
Before we go to break here, if you are enjoying wagering, we've got a guy for you. Our Jeff Blank, every day, great insight on Twitter and Instagram.
He's not a degenerate. You make it sound like every day.
No, he gives us good information every day.
He's not at the track.
Yeah. No.
That we know of.
Yeah.
That's right. No, Jeff's doing a phenomenal job for us. Make sure you follow him at Jeff Blank, T2G on Twitter and Instagram. But he's giving you flow charts now. You know, he's got the four quadrants, the value plus, the long shots, the value minus, all these sort of things. Also, and his daily pick. So make sure you follow him at Jeff Blank, T2G, giving you some good insight. If you like to put wagers on each day's events on the golf professional scene, he's got some good insights there. Check that out. He also has some articles up, as does our Alex Brown. Check out our new revamped website, t2greenradio.com. Time out. Kevin and Jeff, here's the question for you going to break, and we'll let our listeners get on this. Tiger Woods, practicing this week at getting ready for the PGA at Southern Hills, was asked about the biggest rival of his career. Think about who it is. I'm going to give you one guess each. Tiger said his biggest rival of his career. We'll have that when we return after this. Tee to Green, live at beautiful Town and Country Club. Here in Lockport Town and Country Club, along with Kevin Sylvester, PGA Pro Jeff Mitis, I'm Brian Colziel. More coming up. Tee to Green here from inside the beautiful grill room overlooking the first hole on WGR.
You're listening to Tee to Green, presented by the Western New York PGA. Woods to wedges inside the Whirly Golf Dome, custom turf, Michelob Ultra, and Jim Beam, and by our home clubs, Pendleton Creek Golf Club and Lancaster Country Club. Stay tuned. More Tee to Green coming up.
Hey, everyone. Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us, and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
We'll be right back.
7:50. Welcome back. We are live at Lockport Town and Country Club. Sun is out. Beautiful day here. As we broadcast live, Tee to Green, Brian Colziel, Kevin Sylvester, PGA Pro Jeff Mitis. Just a few minutes left here. Give you the information on how to contact GM Rollin O'Malley in just one moment. Before we do that, though, we want to finish with Tiger Woods, his greatest rival. Of course, an interview with someone who does like to talk, Stevie Williams, was done this week by some Australian media.
He doesn't like wearing shirts.
And they asked him about Tiger's greatest rival, and it was an interesting answer, which probably is giving away maybe who maybe people would think is right away. So I told you guys to get one guess each.
So I'm not guessing Phil, because everybody would think Phil, right?
So the headline actually of the story says Tiger's ex-caddy talks about Tiger's greatest rival, and it's not Phil Mickelson. So, yes, you would think it would be Mickelson.
This is according to Stevie
this
Williams.
This is according to Stevie Williams.
Right, here's my guess. Jack Nicklaus.
I'm going to say Stevie Williams said Tiger.
Okay.
Said himself.
Nope.
Tiger's greatest rival
nope
was
and
himself.
Nope. Okay. No. Yep. So, before I read this, I thought maybe it was Els, because how often did Els finish second? Like, remember how many majors we went through and talked about, like, if Tiger wasn't there, Els would have won, like, six more majors. So the
Vijay?
The answer is Vijay Singh.
Wow.
He said the two of those guys and their mentality on the golf course in terms of how much they wanted to beat each other, he said, was unrivaled by any other golfer out there. So he says that Tiger's greatest rival in terms of the guy that he just did not want to lose to was Vijay Singh.
Probably the same work ethic, too, you know?
Yeah, and that's why I thought about it, because I was trying to think, all right, who was really good?
I wouldn't have brought it up if it was Mickelson. 90s. That seems like the obvious answer.
He was
right?
a good player for a long time. Yeah, still was a good player on the senior tour.
Let me tell you, the worst job in the tour was being his caddy, because you're on the range. It would be like caddying for Bryson, right? You're there forever. Which, by the way, you see Tim Tucker is back on the bag. He's out caddying for Adam Svensson.
Interesting.
Yeah, the Canadian golfer, so.
Yeah, Williams, the former longtime caddy for Tiger, says, quote, you know, Vijay, you know, he's got a relationship. Oh, sorry. I meant the rivalry with Tiger and Phil. Yes, that's going on. But he said Tiger and Vijay was greater, in my opinion, from talking with Tiger many times. He goes, I mean, the two guys just hated to lose to one another.
That's how you win, though. You know,
right,
it's like
you'd
be a match play. You'd be playing against your best buddy. It's like you find something you don't like about that guy that day because you're just trying to beat
him. It's draft weekend, right? And in any sport now, you know, and I remember in hockey all the time when the NHL draft were all around and the Sabre scouts would tell me, we always ask a guy, do you love to win or hate to lose? We always take the guy who says hate to lose.
Yeah.
Now they all say, I hate to lose, right?
Okay. Well, they're trained now for the interviews.
Yeah. But prior to that, banging, you know, it felt like it was a trick question, but the guys were like, oh, I hate losing. Any coach, anybody who coaches, Brian, you coach a sports. You coach a couple sports.
The guys that get more aggravated about when they lose. Yeah.
When you win, you feel like, okay, we did what we're supposed to do. When you lose, right, you don't sleep well. You're thinking about
it. You get aggravated.
You hate it.
Yeah. I would agree.
Golf's a tough sport for that.
Yeah, because you
lose way more often than you win, unless your name's Tiger Woods, maybe.
Yes,
but
true. Good point.
Yeah. But for the rest of the world, you lose more often than you win.
Way more. Yeah, that's a tour player win a couple times in his career, if he's lucky.
And that's a great, incredible career.
Yeah.
If you win a couple of times.
It's so difficult to win on the PGA Tour. It's just incredibly difficult. Look at last week, Xander Schauffele. That's his first win in the tour since 2019. The gold medal doesn't count.
And a top 10 player in the world who's so good.
Yeah.
Gifted athlete, the whole package, and he struggled. Yeah.
Patrick Cantlay has lost two playoffs, one last week.
Cameron Camp.
Cameron Camp or Cameron Champ?
Cameron Camp. Yes. Cameron Champ.
Who's won three times. Cameron Champ's won three times on the PGA Tour. How about that?
Good for him.
He's all or nothing.
Yep.
He either wins or,
he's hurt.
He's had some issues, But, man, what a talented player.
Yep.
All right, well, we're going to go out and play some holes here, so that's exciting.
Everybody showed up when they heard you said you're going to play. Everybody showed up.
Yeah, I shouldn't have said anything.
Well,
Did I mention it?
We're going to have a large gallery following our group here, which is exciting. So big thanks to General Manager Rollin O'Malley, the PGA Pro Terry Stiltner, the Superintendent Jason Canudola for their warm welcome as well. This course is phenomenal. I got to mention longtime Lockport Town and Country Club member Mike Vendetti, who I know listens every week. Mike says, my one piece of advice on one hole, you can't go left on three. Well, that's what Jason had said was his favorite hole earlier.
No.
So,
Mike, that's incorrect. You're supposed to give us your member number. That's what you're supposed to do.
All right, I'll text him back and ask him what it is here. All right. Thanks to everybody here. Again, if you want to contact Raul, you can do so. Rowland@lockportcc.com. The number is 716-433-5969. All that information at lockportcountryclub.com. Next week, we start May. A little trip from here. We're going to go to Attica.
Oh, fantastic.
See our good buddy Scott Howard.
Get that egg sandwich.
Yeah, I was going to say
that. Ooh, that was beautiful last time.
The first thing I thought of was a sandwich he made us.
Do you see the Facebook post? The food, like the burgers of the week, the food there is awesome.
All right, so breakfast sandwich before the show. Burger. Can we eat a burger after the show at 8 in the morning? Of course.
Why not?
All right.
Let's test it out.
All right, Scott, next week we'll give that all a shot. Thanks to everybody here at Lockport Town and Country Club. Thanks to Zach Jones back in our Amherst studios. The entire show will be up on demand audio, WGR550.com. For Kevin Sylvester, PGA Pro Jeff Mitas, I'm Brian Colziel. Thanks for listening. Tee to Green every Saturday right here on WGR.
You're listening to Tee to Green, presented by the Western New York PGA. Woods to wedges inside the Whirly Golf Dome, Custom Turf, Michelob Ultra, and Jim Beam. And by our home clubs, Pendleton Creek Golf Club and Lancaster Country Club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.